Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we have reports as to what's been going on when it comes to your outdoors from Nadine Ford down at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And then we have a very interesting talk with our local Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources fisheries biologist Max Walter about what they found in fall surveys and a lot more. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Make sure you're ready to conquer fall and winter by custom ordering your new Polaris side-by-side or ATV today at Hayward Powersports. Get work done in record time in a Polaris Ranger with features like an electronic cargo box lift and VersaTrak turf mode. Polaris Razor is the choice for thrill-seeking adrenaline junkies everywhere. And the Polaris General is the world's most comfortable and powerful crossover machine. All three have exclusive features for gadget lovers, including the 7-inch ride command display with GPS navigation and group ride feature that allows you to sync with others in your group to keep communication and pace. Plus, the soundtrack to make your ride even more epic is delivered through a Rockford Fosgate audio system. And ATV purists, don't forget about the machine that started it all, the legendary Polaris Sportsman. To ensure the quickest delivery, come see us and get yours ordered today at Hayward Powersports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77 or online at haywardpowersports.com.
See Hayward Powersports for details. Always wear a helmet, never drink and ride.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great lunch menu. And while you're there, Lynn's also has a great selection of custom-cut meats and sausages, as well as many varieties of snack sticks, jerky, fresh cheese curds, and much more. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30 and 9 to 4 on Saturdays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward. We're recording this week's show down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and I got Nadine Ford in here again, and good to have you on the show, Nadine.
Nice to be back. Hope you're having a good week. I know I am. It's been a good Monday so far.
You know what? The weather's been actually pretty nice for getting out there in the fall, and it seems like there's still quite a few anglers going out.
Oh, right. I, being newer here to Hayward Bait and Bottle, I would have thought we would have started slowing down after Labor Day, but we've actually been getting busier and busier with the fall muskie season around, and then the walleye fishing.
You bet. Well, the muskie, that's always a given. There's always going to be a bunch of guys up here muskie fishing. A lot of them are dragging suckers, and you got suckers in here too, I suppose.
Oh, yeah. We have tons of suckers. In fact, we're flying through them. We can barely keep them in the tanks.
That's always the case, it seems like, every year. But, you know, there's other options too. There's jigging soft plastics and casting soft plastics and trolling now. And people can troll now for muskies.
Oh, yeah. And then we also just got a huge shipment of crankbaits, so there's no shortage to the different ways that you can fish for muskie out there.
You bet. You know, it's just that they tend to go a little bit deeper, and you got to get your baits down a little deeper, a little bit slower. How about walleye fishing? Walleye fishing starting to pick up again now that the water temperatures are really cooling down?
Oh, yeah. And from what I understand, you know, the ones that aren't so deep, they're coming up by the weed lines. Again, with the walleye suckers, we're selling through quite a bit of those. There's been a few times this past week where we've actually ran out and had to have another shipment brought in.
Yeah. And I haven't heard much on turnover on lakes either, because the water temperature is down into that area right now where you're getting close to that turnover normally. But the thermoclines were awful deep to start with, so I don't know if that's going to be a factor or not. And as far as panfish out there, have you heard anything on crappies and panfish?
Nothing too specific. But we still have quite a few people coming in getting our crappie minnows. I heard you had some luck here last week getting into a crappie hole.
Well, you get some really nice crappies. We got some nice ones. That'll keep the big ones. The big ones go back, you know, and the smaller ones are the ones we tend to keep if we're going to keep some to eat. You know, those big crappies are old. I mean, some of the lakes, those fish are, you know, if you get a 13-inch crappie, it may be 12, 13 years old.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, it's pretty fun to catch those ones. And when you can catch and release, that just means that someone else can enjoy catching the trophy next time.
Well, you bet. You know, and it's not just crappies. I mean, virtually most of the fish out there, when you're dealing with the larger fish, the real big ones, they're pretty old fish. And it takes, you know, anywhere from 10 to 20 years to replace that fish, basically. So I think people ought to be throwing back the big ones because there's no really need to keep them. They're not the best eating. I mean, if you're a farmer, you're not going to go out and butcher your biggest bull and your oldest bull. You want a nice, young, tender steer. And I mean, that's kind of the thing. You heard anything on bluegills at all?
I haven't myself, no. Not much on bluegills.
Yeah, well, usually they're kind of right along with the crappies right now, and I know in some of the lakes they are. Anything on bass fishing right now? There's still some guys out after smallmouth, I know that.
Yeah, and we have a lot of people coming in asking about the largemouth. We've been going through a lot of topwater baits recently, so it's... They must be hitting out on top of the lakes.
Well, yeah, water temperatures were pretty warm up till this last week when it really started to drop. And I knew that was going to happen because, you know, it always seems to be, if it doesn't cool down gradually, we have a big crash in water temperature. And I think that might have affected the fishing a little bit, too. You know, we got some hunting going on, too, right now. Hunting seasons and everything else are open.
Oh, yeah. You know, bow season, we have a lot of people coming in. We can help with the licenses. We have everything that you need for hunting, whether it's your knives, supplies for field dressing, setting up your tree stands. We even have some articles of clothing that, you know, camo. Soon we'll be moving in more of the blaze orange, getting ready for the winter time. But yeah, people are buying up all the tags and getting ready to head out.
I notice right now you're starting to set up the shop for the ice fishing stuff, too. That'll be just around the corner because usually there's guys that are hoping to get out ice fishing around Thanksgiving time. And basically that's, what, a month, a little over a month from where we're standing here?
Oh, I can't be more excited. There's nothing more that I love about winter than ice fishing. You know, that's probably the only thing I like about winter because it gets so cold, especially up here. And then I keep hearing that the squirrels are collecting a lot more nuts than they usually are. So it sounds like it's going to be a pretty harsh winter.
Well, we didn't have much rain, so that may translate into a lot of that moisture coming later as snow. And I don't know, there's a lot of new stuff out there ice fishing this year. There usually is some new stuff.
I haven't come across anything yet. I'm really looking forward to seeing what we get into the shop. Right now we're getting shipments of your Mr. Heaters. We're getting ice shacks in, and then we got a bunch of jigging poles. Again, the stuff is starting to flow in, and as it comes in, we're getting it out onto the floor. So here by next week, the whole layout's going to look completely different.
Yeah, I know that's a big undertaking every year, and I know you get out doing some fishing too. And you've been out since you caught the muskie?
I've been out a few times, caught a couple of smallmouths, and then was able to catch a couple of walleyes just last week. But that was over at the Minong Dam up on top. It was a little challenging because they're working on draining that right now.
Well, you know, and there's more and more women getting involved in the hunting and fishing, too. They just had a big muskie school out on the Chippewa Flowage out there, and they had a record number of attendance at that thing. So we're seeing it across the board. More and more women and ladies are getting out there and getting into both fishing and hunting now.
Oh, and I'm loving it. My dad, he had me out in the woods ever since before I can remember. And I remember being in my hunter safety class, and I was the only girl. And now that I'm an adult and my daughter just went through the class, there was actually almost half of the class were girls. So it's really fun to see the younger generation, you know, start to pick up these traditions.
You bet. Interesting stuff. And like I mentioned before, you got just about everything anybody needs for fall hunting and fishing. So stop in the store here and good source of information here.
Yep. There's quite a few of us here that, you know, we have a lot of different knowledge on between the hunting and the fishing. So there's usually someone here that if you need help, we'll be able to get you the information that you need.
Well, thank you for coming on here, Nadine.
No problem. You have a great day.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take a break right now and hear from some of the fine sponsors that make this show possible every week. We come back, we've got a very interesting interview with our local Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources fisheries biologist, Max Walter. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hunters and Anglers, Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop in the Hayward area. Stop in and check out the huge selection of muskie, bass, walleye, and panfish tackle. They also carry archery supplies, bows, crossbows, muzzle loaders, ammo, scents, tree stands, and much more. gear up for hunting and fishing at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And while you're there, check out the bottle shop for a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sporting bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin, welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Hit the water next spring in the boat you've always wanted by ordering it today at Hayward Power Sports. New inventory has been impossible to find, but if you order yours by August 28th, the factory will have it ready by spring. Sit down with one of our knowledgeable staff and let them help you build the perfect boat. We offer Tracker, America's number one selling aluminum fishing boat, or choose a Lund. No boat brand holds their value better. We also sell Sun Tracker, the world's best-selling pontoon, and Bennington pontoons, the height of luxury and style. See us today at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control. A day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors, and this part of the show is brought to you by the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau. For more information on lodging and vacationing here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out their website at haywardlakes.com. Well, folks, you're one of the people that we get on here to talk about our outdoors as often as we can is our local DNR fisheries biologist, Max Walter. And I had a chance to talk to Max the other day on the phone about what they saw as far as their fall surveys and a lot more.
We're talking to our local DNR biologist, Max Walter. And Max, good to have you on the show. When we can get you cornered here once in a while, you're not out taking care of our lakes and checking what's going on.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here, and you caught me at a good time to kind of look back at a lot of the things we did in the last month or two.
Yeah, you know, speaking of that, the fall surveys, and we talked about what you were planning on doing, but what did you get out and do this fall as far as checking on our lakes and fisheries?
Yeah, so we did fall electrofishing surveys on, I think it was 15 lakes in the area. These are predominantly going to be lakes that have a walleye fishery. That's most what we're looking for in the fall. We'll try to do the whole shoreline of the lake. If it's a smaller lake, we can go up to about, you know, an 800-acre lake and do that all in one night. Larger lakes, we either got to bring in more boats, which we do sometimes. We did that on, like, Nelson Lake, for example, and Round Lake. So then we can still do the whole shoreline. Places like the Chippewa, we just do enough to get a pretty good feel for what's out there. We're looking for the amount of natural walleye that have survived. Those would be ones born this spring. And then we're also looking at survival of any stocked or natural-born fish from the year before. So we're looking at what we call age zero, haven't even had their first birthday yet, and age one, so fish that came into the lake in 2020.
So what are you finding? I mean, we were talking before, many cases we've talked about, they seem to be having trouble getting natural reproduction. Are you seeing any encouraging stuff out there?
Actually, yes, and it was a very interesting year because, you know, we have a lot of lakes on our list that we do almost every year. Some of them are tied up in research projects, and so we want to be able to have that continuous data so we know anytime there's even a little bit of natural reproduction. And there was a few lakes where we hadn't seen really much of anything for a number of years, and then all of a sudden here in 2021, there's at least a little blip on the radar. So we had a small natural year class in Sisabagama after many years of not seeing much at all. Windfall Lake had a pretty good one. That was one we'd had some concern about, so that was nice. The Couderay, which is one we're really keeping a close eye on and would love to see the reproduction come back. It had some, not a lot, not where anglers are going to be, you know, 5 years down the road, overwhelmed by the number of fish out there, but we'd much rather see something rather than nothing. And maybe that's a sign that, you know, they can pull off a bigger one in the coming years, or maybe it is just a blip on the radar and we go back to nothing. But that was interesting, certainly.
That's something that we're probably going to be looking at, still having to do quite a bit of stocking, you think?
Correct, yes. All three of those lakes, even though they had some natural reproduction, we still did some stocking, too, to supplement that. So we'll try to make sure there's enough fish out there to kind of keep the population density up high enough so that there can be reproduction and give them a chance. If we ever see a really good year class, then we'd probably pull back on the stocking and hope that the population will start doing it on their own again, because that is preferred. And that's what a lot of people have to understand. You know, people love stocking. It's so popular, and it seems really intuitive. You put fish out there, you're going to have more fish. But what we see in reality is stocked walleye fisheries, where we're relying on that hatchery truck to deliver the fish to the lake almost every year or every other year, they have about half the adult density than a fully naturally reproducing lake. And you can put that on a per acre basis. A stocked fishery in our area is often around 1.5 adults per acre. So that's a fishable population, but your catch rates aren't going to be real high. A naturally reproducing population can be 3 adults per acre or oftentimes much higher. So we want Mother Nature to be doing it on her own. She can put a lot more walleye out into these lakes than we can and can be very successful. But stocking is still a good tool when that's not happening.
Well, you know, given the fact that a lot of these lakes up here were not native walleye lakes, mm-hmm. is that going to be a bearing on it, or is it climate change, or all of the above, or what, that basically is knocking stuff down, or is that a question you just don't know?
You encapsulated the whole issue there pretty well. Yeah, it's really complex. Most of our lakes up here, unless they're connected to a large river system, are not native walleye lakes. So they were introduced at different points in the 1900s, and were stocked for a long time with either fry or small fingerlings. And then over time, the walleye started reproducing on their own pretty successfully. We had good runs of reproduction, especially it seems like in the 70s and 80s and even in through most of the 90s. And then it was in the 2000s here when we started to see that go away. So, yeah, we definitely have climate impacts that are changing lakes. That's a lot of research that's shown that to be the case. They are, in a lot of cases, introduced fisheries, which is interesting, but they're tremendously popular. So we want to have walleye fisheries wherever we can. We have, an angling community that is really, really interested in walleye and wants them out there. We have a tribal, subsistence harvest fishery that's really interested in having walleye out there. So we're going to continue to try to create great walleye populations in the lakes that will support them, but it is getting harder, without question.
Well, and that's something I think a lot of people just don't understand, too, is that, some lakes in some areas, you get some of the lakes in, like, northern Minnesota, for instance, are native walleye lakes, and they're adept at really producing a lot of walleyes, and maybe sometimes some of these waters struggle a little bit more, and you can't just throw fish in any old lake and expect that they're going to do well sometimes.
That's correct, yes. And, there's some general truths about, this situation, which is larger lakes are going to do better for walleye, both natural reproduction and probably stocking success, too. The farther north you are, the better they're going to do. We're kind of on the southern edge of the walleye's range here, so, we have some great populations, and we will continue to have some, but it's not like any old lake is going to be a great walleye lake. And that's true with stocking, too. We stock a lot of lakes, and we see some where, boy, it works like gangbusters. Locally, like Big Chetak is a very good stocked walleye lake. And then there's some that just don't receive those fish very well and have a really low density, even though the stocking effort is similar to the lake next door.
You seeing anything on feedback on the regulations since we started going to slot limits at all?
Yeah, we've looked at that, kind of statewide and regionally, and, we know that the new higher protective slots are generally pretty popular, the 20 to 24 closed slot that we have on a lot of lakes now. People like that, generally because that's the size of fish they aren't always looking at as an eater anyhow. So releasing it's not a big deal. They like that idea that it's going to be out there growing, a nice photo fish for later on. I think we are still going to be in a period of growing pains in a lot of cases as these walleye fisheries change from being maybe a higher density naturally reproducing water to a lower density stocked water. Our regulations may have to adjust along with that because, that changes a lot about how the population functions. A lower density fishery, there's not going to be as many of them out there, of course, that's kind of the nature of the beast, but often their growth rates are faster, and so you can get some bigger fish. So there's a little bit of a silver lining or a trade-off, if you will. So we're going to kind of have to keep an eye on that as these fisheries continue to change and make sure our regulations match what our populations look like here in the 2020s and not the you know, 1900s, back when they looked different.
Well, you know, especially with fish that tend to be harvest-oriented, like walleyes and panfish, too, the way we fish, the technology out there, the knowledge on finding and catching these fish is dramatically different from what it was 20 years ago. And, you know, I think it part of that responsibility should go back to some of the anglers, too, to start thinking, again, we've talked about this before, but start thinking about how many fish do we really need to keep here if we want to maintain a fishery.
Yeah, well, let me try to encapsulate all this. I think you bring up a really interesting topic, which is how does our relationship to these fish change? You look back 50 years ago, and people wouldn't just be harvesting walleye and panfish. They'd also be harvesting bass, and maybe more trout would be part of their harvest if they got out and did that. People were still harvesting a lot of muskies at the time. Look where we're at today. We're now down to the point where we only, generally speaking, as an angling community, are looking at walleye, panfish, and maybe pike as the harvest species. And the rest of them are almost exclusively catch and release now, whether that's trout on a place like the Namekagon River or bass almost everywhere is a lot of catch and release. Muskie is almost exclusively catch and release. So all the harvest pressure that used to be kind of spread across all these species is now focused on walleye and crappie. We have walleye in less places than we used to have them, less abundant populations. So that puts even more pressure on the remaining good areas. And we have all this technology that you and I have talked about on the show many times. So, you know, when you kind of put all those things together, it creates kind of a different perspective on the pressure on our fisheries. And like you said, the role anglers have to play in terms of making ethical decisions about what do you really need to take? What does this lake actually have in surplus, which in a lot of cases is still pike or maybe small bass where we've changed regulations, and maybe focus some harvest there instead of on, you know, the species that everybody wants to get.
Well, you know, there's a lot of other species of fish out there too. I mean, one thing that, you know, I can think about is rock bass. I mean, you can catch a lot of rock bass, and they're actually not bad eating, but most people just kind of ignore them and throw them back all the time. It just, there's many fish, and the pike, we mentioned pike. Pike are excellent table fare. And if we could shift some of that harvest away from the panfish and the walleyes towards some of these other species of fish, that would dramatically help a little bit too.
Yeah, and you know, people are probably sick of hearing me talk about, you know, the opportunities to harvest pike and kind of pushing for that. But, you know, I wouldn't be on the radio talking about stuff like that if I didn't, you know, look at the data and say, okay, here is a true harvest opportunity where people are not going to hurt the fishery. It is important, I think, to identify some of those situations. Rock bass, that's an interesting one, sure. You know, there's a lot of places where people could be harvesting more trout, and they aren't necessarily doing it. I know people used to harvest more bullheads than they do now. Catfish are becoming a bigger deal in some of our lakes and rivers that might be a harvest opportunity. So, yeah, I guess, you know, just having people keep an open mind. You know, listen to what some of the folks within the fisheries program locally are saying about what's out there and what might be helpful to harvest, and you know, we can kind of all approach this as a community.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take yet another break and hear from even more of the fine folks that bring this show to you every week. When we come back, we'll have that second part of that interview with Max Walter. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Are you in need of marine service? If so, call Earl's Marine, located on County K between the Big Lakes. Earl's Marine is a local Johnson Avenue authorized sales and service representative. Need a boat or a pontoon for a few days? Just call for rental information. Since 1966, Earl's Marine has provided outstanding marine service to this area. For outstanding service, open 7 days a week for sales with a mechanic on duty Monday through Friday. Call Earl's Marine today at 715-634-4783.
Pet owners, if there's a word better than inexpensive, it's free. Hayward Animal Hospital has always offered a free wellness exam with the vaccination of your pet. Your cat or dog will be given the highest quality and most comprehensive vaccines available to ensure continued protection against a variety of diseases with no hidden exam fees. The next time your pet needs vaccinations, consider a free wellness exam and Dr. Ostrander's over 30 years of experience. Hayward Animal Hospital is located on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And we're going to jump right back into the second part of that interview with our local DNR fisheries biologist, Max Walter.
Well, you know, and you mentioned people keeping them in mind and listen to what's going on. There's also different groups. We've got lake associations. We've got walleyes for Northwest Wisconsin and this stuff. And they do a lot actually helping you guys out, too, on different things.
Yeah, absolutely. We're very blessed to have so many good groups up here. And I think it's almost a bigger challenge for me to find the good projects than for me to get them done. Because, you know, when we find a meaningful project, I can put it in front of any number of those groups that you just mentioned. And it will happen, you know, whether that's stocking or some habitat stuff or, you know, different initiatives, youth stuff, developing access, whatever. We can make all that happen. So, you know, that's always a challenge for me and my team is to make sure that we're finding those opportunities and putting them in front of all these, you know, awesome partners that we have.
You know, one thing we didn't talk about, too, I was going to ask you about, too, is that you just think our, you know, the lakes go through a natural aging process. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we talked about flowage is aging much faster than a natural lake, that process of eutrophication. But do you think that being these lakes with all the boat traffic and with all the development and stuff has actually increased the aging of these lakes, too, which could push it more toward a non-walleye habitat?
Unfortunately, yes. I do believe that's likely a contributing factor. There was a large analysis done on, you know, where walleye recruitment isn't going very well anymore, and one of the important factors that popped up was the amount of shoreline development. So lakes that maintain wild shorelines are the ones that tend to continue to do better, in addition to many other factors that I mentioned earlier, like lake size and things like that. So, yeah, there's no question we're having impacts on the habitat, whether that's how we choose to, you know, build and develop shorelines. I don't know how much boating is an impact. Maybe I can't speak to that. Angling, of course, you know, we talk about that all the time. So, yeah, we have to be really cognizant of that. And there are smart ways to do all this stuff. You know, we're not going to say you can't have a cabin on the lake. This is Hayward. That's what it's all about in a lot of cases. But having a natural shoreline at that cabin, so, you know, we can basically try to trick the fish into thinking it's an undeveloped lake. That would be great. That's going to help the productivity of that fishery and resiliency, which is going to be a really important thing. You're going to hear a lot of talk about it. You know, the climate is changing. We all can see a lot of these changes in front of us. How can we make our lakes more resilient to that so that we're not going to see the worst possible outcomes?
Well, I know one of the things I was, when you said that shoreline and stuff, is that, you know, it's all too often that if a tree falls on the lake and it's on in their property, the first thing they got to do is get that out of there. And, you know, historically, there was tons of wood in these lakes years ago that now is not there.
Right, yes. And that is one very, very good, very obvious example that, you know, our lakes, if we didn't have, you know, all the cabins and all the other things there, the shoreline would look very different from that standpoint alone. There'd be all kinds of wood in the water. There'd be more aquatic plant growth, you know, things, more structural habitat to produce fish. And what we have now, in a lot of cases, is docks and places where things have been pulled out or scraped out, and it doesn't quite look the same. So, you know, encouraging people to think about their shoreline as, you know, a natural part of the lake ecosystem and a place that can produce fish is really important. And there's some great resources out there. DNR's got good stuff. Healthy Lakes program is awesome if you go on the DNR website. Another group that I would direct people toward is the Midwest Glacial Lakes Partnership. If you're on a lake and you're interested in these types of issues, they have so much cool stuff. They've got a webinar series that touches on every topic that people care about right now, from, you know, wake boating to shoreline erosion to, you know, climate, all this stuff. And they've got some great resources. So, you know, folks that care about this and want to make a difference, there's stuff out there to help.
Well, a very interesting conversation here, Max. I don't know if you've got anything else you want to add here to it.
No, I'll just repeat the name there, Midwest Glacial Lakes Partnership and the DNR Healthy Lakes Programs, two really good ones if you care about lake habitat and fish.
Well, Max, I want to appreciate you taking the time here to talk to our audience and our listeners out there.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Yep, thank you.
Well, folks, you know, we're about out of time for this week's show. I'd like to remind everyone out there that if you miss a show, go to our website at wnoradio.net. And from there, you can link to our podcast site. And the show is also on Spotify and Google Podcasts every week. And also, if you're looking for information on vacationing and lodging here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau website at haywardlakes.com. Thanks for listening, folks. We're out of time, and we'll be back again next week with another interesting show for you.
Listen with me, I'm gonna take you there to our Wisconsin Outdoors, our Wisconsin Outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.